the OTB Podcast Network. The OTB Sports app. Listen to OTB Sports Radio 24/7, plus all your favorite podcasts, including OTB Gold.
Are you a complete rookie?
The OTB Sports app, available to download now from your app store.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
And you're welcome back to Off the Ball here on News Talk for your Sunday afternoon. Now, John Duggan sitting in for Joe Malloy until 7 o'clock, as well as listening to us on News Talk. Right now, you can watch us on our live streams for Periscope on Twitter, at Off the Ball, on YouTube, on Facebook, and on the new OTB Sports app for iOS and Android. Search OTB Sports in your app store. We're joined for a recap of the Pro 14 matches over the weekend in rugby and a look ahead to the final by the former Munster, Leinster, Northampton player James Downey and the Irish Independent journalist Cian Tracy. Lads, good afternoon.
Hi, John.
Hey, lads.
Lads, Ian Madigan last night, James, that was fairy tale stuff.
Yeah, I think so. You look at where Ian's come from in the past couple of years, and over in Bordeaux, things didn't work out well. And then in Bristol, his first year then in Bristol, he kept him up in the championship pretty much, and then had to take a back seat last year. Look, he got a move over to Ireland, being Irish qualified helped him, and look, stuff dreams are made of. You know, he comes off the bench and kicks the two in and kicks. Like, you look at that one from the touchline, the conversion to draw the game, and that was a crucial one, really. There was no pressure, I don't think, on the second one as much, because you would have gone to extra time. But that first one, just to equalise it, wrong side for right footed kicker, and he slots it.
Yeah, 22-19 win over Edinburgh, Cian, and 12 points down at two stages. How did they pull that out of the fire?
Yeah, it was seriously impressive considering the form that they showed post-lockdown. I think, you know, a lot of people were expecting Edinburgh to win, and it's worth pointing out that this is a very good Edinburgh team as well. I think they'll be absolutely gutted. Like you said, they were 12 points up at two different stages, but there was a real bite to Ulster that there wasn't in the last couple of weeks. I'd say Dan McFarland probably read them the riot act over the last couple of weeks, because they were just nowhere near their best. And when they're winning front football, they're a serious outfit. And you know, it was interesting that Ian Madigan was on the pitch even to kick that at the end, because John Cooney was taken off at halftime. And I think Dan McFarland deserves a lot of credit for how he went about this, because John Cooney got taken off, and obviously he's been the key man. And if he'd been on the pitch, John Cooney would have been the one, you know, kicking the kicks at the end there. But Ian Madigan has made a career out of clutch kicks like this. Even if you think about the two props that he started, Tom O'Toole and Eric O'Sullivan, two young guys. And it was a really brave decision, I think, to go with them and have the experience of Marty Moore and Jack McGrath on the bench, because I think a lot of coaches would go with the experience. But Edinburgh had a lot of firepower to bring off the bench. And I think that's what really won it for them in the end, was Ulster's bench coming off. You look at the likes of Sean Reedy, Kieran Treadwell, like Albie Mathewson came on and replaced John Cooney. And like I said, he's been stalwart to this Ulster team, so a really big decision. And I think Mathewson's experience really helped in those closing stages. And then, yeah, it was just all set up. And I think Ian Madigan has a special place in a lot of Irish fans' hearts after kind of, you know, that 2015 World Cup and the tears after the French game and stuff. And it is a really nice story. Look, James is right, he's come back. It's been a tough few years for him, especially on the rugby pitch. It hasn't really happened for him. Bordeaux was a tough move. Bristol worked out well at the start, and he was a key man in getting them back to the Premiership. But it's great to see him back, and he's back with a point to prove, and that's the way to do it if he wants to get back in the Irish setup.
Yeah, well, what was going wrong for the first 15 minutes? Is it an accurate assessment? It seems to be from Cian, James, that McFarland's changes made the difference, and Mathewson and Madigan were the two lads who came in during the close season.
Yeah, and I completely agree with what Cian said there. They needed to make a difference. At halftime, it's such a big call to take off Cooney. To bring it on. I think they looked at that short side. They kept on going back to the short side. There was a lot of space there that they tried to exploit. And it was crucial that someone like Madison came on, increases the tempo. He's such an experienced player, international player, who knows what to do. And I just think that they stuck to what they were good at. They were getting go forward. And ultimately, it was a cup game, and they went for it. We'd seen the previous 2 weeks, they just looked lackluster. They didn't look like they knew what they were doing in certain areas. And this time you could see that it was actually, we have to go for this. You can't just stick in what we're doing before that. We actually have to go and try and win this. Conversely to what Munster were trying to do, they just looked null and void trying to chase the game in the last 20. But Ulster, to their credit, kept on fighting, kept on showing it, and got just reward.
McFarland came in 2 years ago. A lot of people would have been running a mile from that job back then with Ulster. He's got them to back-to-back European Cup quarterfinals. They got a quarterfinal to look forward to in a couple of weeks. And now a first final for 7 years.
Yeah, he deserves a lot of credit. I mean, he's a no-nonsense type of guy, and I think that's exactly the kind of character you needed going in there. I think what was Brian O'Driscoll described Ulster as a basket case, and I know that really stung them, but to be fair, he wasn't far wrong. But McFarland has really turned the ship around. Like I mentioned, he's putting his trust in young guys as well, which I think is key. And that's been a hallmark, I think, of over the weekend. I know we'll get on to Leinster, but you look at Leinster trusting their young guys as well. I mean, you had a 21-year-old starting in the centre in James Hume, and he was absolutely outstanding. I mean, one of the tackles he put in on Bill Matta, he cut him down in two. And like you're talking about a guy who's twice, three times the size of him, and they're really punching above their weight. But he's getting the best out of players as well. Like we mentioned John Cooney. Okay, he hasn't been the same since lockdown, but over the last couple of years, he's looked reborn. I think if he can start getting the best out of the likes of Jack McGrath and Marty Moore, who I thought had a really big impact off the bench, they're onto a winner. I think the big challenge for Ulster now is, you know, they're back in a final, but it's going to be so tough to back up what they did, the efforts that they put in last night. I think Leinster still have a few more gears to work through, but I think physically and emotionally, like, Ulster really went to the well there to pull it out of the bag, and that's going to be a very difficult challenge, I think, to back it up with. Also, it's worth pointing out, a day less prepared than Leinster.
So, James, what is the kind of the next few days, what is the best way of managing that with downtime, with the way the Dan McFarland and his coaching staff speak to the players? How do Ulster manage this in the best way so they give themselves the best possible chance next Saturday at the Aviva?
Look, I think ultimately they've got to get their selection right. A lot of players who've come off the bench there, they've really held up their hand to say, look, I need to be included and I need to be in the starting 15 as opposed to being in that 23. Game plan, it's going to be a final. I don't think they're going to be on their feet too much. They're going to have to look after their bodies. We've mentioned that they have that day less. So it's just got to be about controlling that, and just players will want a chance again to put the coaches under pressure to make that selection as tough as it can be, because everyone wants to start in the final.
Is Ian Madigan a contender to start now in your view, Keane? He came on with 10 minutes to go. What does he need to do to challenge Billy Burns in your view?
Yeah, look, I think I'd be surprised if he got the start. I think having a clutch kicker like that to come on is such a massive bonus. But I think we've got to give Billy Burns a bit of credit. You know, he's captaining Ulster at the moment with Ian Henderson out of the team. McFarland has really put his trust in him. And while, you know, he missed the kick himself, he came up with a huge moment there in the second half when he made an intercept when Edinburgh were breaking away and could really have killed off the game. So I think Madigan is going to have to bide his time. Absolutely, you know, he was the match winner, but I think Burns has done enough as well. And I think that's been a key to Ulster's success is, like I said, is McFarland getting the best out of these guys. You look at someone like Marcel Coetzee last night, and like I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that Coetzee is the best player. You know, when he's on form, he's the best player playing in Ireland at the moment. He's just an absolute freak of an athlete. I thought he was absolutely sensational. And there's a guy who's trying to get back into the Springbok setup, having missed the World Cup through injury. And, you know, he's targeting a Lions tour next summer. And, like, to have that guy when he's on form, there's very few people in Irish rugby can live with that kind of physical aggression. So if Ulster are going to have any chance against Leinster, you know, a lot of things are going to have to go right for him. But I'd wonder kind of the psychology of it. You know, I know they lost Leinster last week, but when you think about it, it was a Leinster B team. So I think, you know, in their heads, they might say, well, look, it is a very different team. So I think they'll have to get their head around that, because while they had a stronger team than Leinster, you know, it's going to take a huge, huge effort to beat Leo Cullenside, who are just motoring on nicely.
Is there any of the area of the Leinster game they could exploit Ulster in your view, James?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Sorry.
That's all right. It's just one of those things that, like, you need a lot of things need to go their way. Obviously, I think Leinster, and rightly so, are going to be the bookies' favourites by a good bit. I think Leinster kind of need to have a little bit of an off day, and also need to be firing on all cylinders and not waiting till the last 20 minutes as we saw the last night. But they'll be buoyed by what's happened. They need to get ahead of Leinster straight away, because if Leinster get ahead, they're so tough to try and reel back in. If Ulster can get ahead nice and early, get the points, just keep that scoreboard ticking over, kind of the way Saracens have played, even if it's 3, 6, 9, 12. Just keep going. And once they're in with a hair's breadth towards the end, then that confidence could come back, you know, and they really got to put this Leinster side under pressure. I don't think they've been under that much pressure. Obviously, it's only been a couple of weeks, but even before that, they don't get pushed too hard, you know, and I think that if Ulster can hang on in there, that's the only hope I can see of it, and Leinster to have a bit of an off day.
I think one of the positive things for Ulster, Keane, is that they're going to be Tier 1 teams next year. You had this expanded European Cup season for next season revealed during the week from December until May, 24 teams, two pools of 12. You'll have quarterfinals, and Tier 1 teams will be playing Tier 4 teams. Ulster, one of those, that can only be a boon for their prospects of progressing, whatever happens in this season's competition.
Yeah, absolutely. I was hoping there you weren't going to ask me to try and explain next season's format, because I'm still trying to get my head around this. But yeah, no,
Da Vinci
it is,
Code,
right.
Yeah.
Absolutely, you're right. It is a massive bonus, and like, let's not forget that like the week after the semi or the final next week, that they're playing Toulouse in a quarter final over in France. You know, so they're well in the hunt with this season's Champions Cup as well. But just to touch on a point that James makes, I think he's dead right. Like, you know, Leinster are going to have an off day. But the problem has been, particularly in the two games that Leinster have played against Munster, they haven't been at their best, but they still find a way to win. So I think Ulster are going to have to be very mindful of that it's not just going to be Leinster going to have to be off the boil. Ulster are going to have to be at 100%. And like we saw in both of Munster's defeats, they weren't at 100% and they weren't able to capitalise it, because it's not often you get Leinster on an off day. And if you can't take advantage of it, then you don't have much hope at all.
So 24 wins in a row now for Leinster. Their last defeat to Saracens in the European Cup final of 2019. Looking for an unprecedented 100% season. On course for three Pro 14 titles in a row, as well as a second double in 3 years. Any chance they're going to fall under the pressure next week? Because they seem to be embracing the pressure of an unbeaten season.
Personally, I can't see it. I think they're just so strong in terms of the squad and what the squad brings. I know Scott Fardy had mentioned after about the players who aren't involved and how much they drive the standards and how much they push those players to actually be on form, otherwise they're not going to be selected. You've internationals all over the place coming back. If James Ryan could be back this weekend, you've the back row selection. There's so many quality players across the board, but it's going to be tough to knock them off, you know. Winning's a habit, and I think this Leinster side certainly have it. And the flow of confidence, you know, there hasn't been too many hiccups along the way and bar a few injuries, but you've got another quality player, regardless of who it is, to step up and come in if they do lose a player. But look, you've guys like Dan Levy who are chomping at the bit, right, been on the edge. Is he going to be around it this week? You know, it's an exciting one for them, but it's going to be so hard to stop them. You know, they're so powerful, and Keane mentioned there, they haven't fired in all cylinders, they haven't been at their best, and yet they know how to win, and that's the key to being a successful side.
It was an ugly game against Munster. Obviously, there's a lot of negative talk in the press, and we'll get to that throughout the next hour. But like everything they struggled with the last day, they kind of dealt with. They dealt with the box kicks protecting Larmer. They dealt with protecting their own line-out ball. They dealt with Munster's ball-winning ability on the ground. Their ability to learn and adapt and move with it under Cullen and Lancaster is bloody impressive, isn't it, Keane?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there, John. I think like they were helped by having a 2 week run in that, you know, they were almost able to go with two separate teams in training. But I think like the most impressive thing I think about Leinster at the moment is like their ability to change full 15s and yet play the exact same game plan. That to me just screams of a whole organization pulling in the right direction, because you look at what they did against Connacht and they played the exact same game plan that they did against Munster the previous week. But you're right, I think From a Munster point of view, that was one of the most disappointing things, that, you know, they got the better of them in the lineout the last time, they got the better of them in the air, and they got the better of them at the breakdown. Like, they were three key focus areas, and Leinster were always going to improve in that. And I think, again, you know, I touched on it earlier, the selection was absolutely crucial around that. You look at Devon Toner coming in, it was a bit of a no-brainer, but like, he came in and did a job. Munster had 100% record from their own lineout before the game on Friday night, and you know, it was a mess. You look at the back three, I think a lot of people would have, myself included, I have to say, wouldn't have been surprised to have seen Rob Kearney come in. You talk about safe pair of hands, like, he's been Irish rugby's safest pair of hands ever. But I, you know, what that would have done to Jordan Larmer's confidence to kind of shifted him onto the wing to offset the loss of Dave Kearney would have been detrimental, I think, to his confidence and also to Leinster's future planning. But like from by all accounts, that wasn't even considered, that Lancaster and Cullen were back in Larmer to the hilt. And you got to say he really delivered in that regard. You know, Hugo Keenan on the wing as well, a bit of a surprise selection, but that guy has been really consistent throughout the whole Pro 14 season. He's played a lot of games. Again, he's been selected ahead of Rob Kearney at fullback for a lot of them too. So it just goes, it goes back to my point of trusting these guys. And I think Irish rugby as a whole, particularly at last year's World Cup, has an issue with, you know, picking on reputation and not picking on form. And Leinster have changed that over the last few years. And while I accept that they have a bigger squad and it's easier to do, they've worked on developing that depth. And they're just not afraid to throw these guys in. You look at someone like Will Connors playing the other night. Like, he put in a huge shift the previous week. Was one of the main reasons why Leinster beat Ulster. Like, he chopped down Marcel Coetzee and Stuart McCloskey. And you look at how effective they were last night, because Edinburgh didn't have someone who could do that. And he backs it up again by getting a start against Munster on Friday night. And Will Connors is a guy who hasn't even played in the Champions Cup yet, let alone been capped by Ireland. Now, I'd be surprised if those two things don't change over the next few weeks. I know Andy Farrell is a really big fan of his, but it just goes to show, like, if you can leave people like Rob Kearney and Josh van der Fleer on the bench, and Josh van der Fleer didn't even come off the bench, I think it was like the 75th minute. So it's just a huge show of faith in these Leinster young guys. And I think they genuinely believe that they have a chance of making the team every week. And James would probably know this more than me. That just has to breed confidence within a squad as a whole.
Yeah, no, I think it has to be a situation where you have these players who are in behind and they're not just going to be dropped in, as previously happened. When the internationals go away, you get a couple of chances, you get to play a few games, you get to go Zebra away, Treviso away, or Dragons or something like that, and then the big guns come back and you step aside. There's got to be a chance for them to actually play with the stronger side, and there is, and they've shown that faith. As you said, the easy thing would have been put Rob Kearney in, push Jordan to the wing, and no problems at all. But you got to reward the players and what they've done, and they've been shown they've been rewarded. Will Connors was superb in the previous game, and he justified his selection. Joshua Lanafear did nothing wrong. It was just that Will Connors, I agreed with him, played better in the chances that they got. They both had 80 minutes, and I just thought that he was superb. So you've got to reward that. And same with Hugo Keenan, does not put a foot wrong, that player. And like, he was a fullback by trade, so to put him on the wing to defuse that tactic that Munster had used previously, also giving Rob Kearney that confidence, or Jordan Larmer the confidence at the back, you know, it's rewarding the selections. And like we said, Joshua Lanafear is on the bench. Then you've got people like Max Deegan, who's not involved. You've Dan Levy, who's not involved. You've Scott Penny, who's not involved. And these are quality players who would start in most provinces. So it's another selection headache for him. Like, what can you say? Will Connors, again, I think, was superb. So Joshua Lanafear comes on, unfortunately gets a team yellow card and can't really impact it. So these guys are just going to be, they're not going to be too happy not to be involved. And there's a lot of cup games coming up. So it just breeds that success from everyone, and everyone's looking over their shoulder, and you can't have an off day. You have an off day, you're resting your laurels, and there's someone else there.
So what should the Irish back row be looking like when we play Italy and France then, on form at the moment for you, Cian?
On form, I think you'd have to look at someone like Will Connors, you know. Like I said, it's amazing that he still hasn't even played in the Champions Cup. And like, I think he's 24, I think I'm right in saying. So he's not exactly like one of the very young lads, but he had a really tough time with injuries earlier on in his career. So we're kind of like, maybe the general public are only starting to see and hear of him now. But like, if you look at any Irish selection, you always, like, inevitably almost have to look at it through a Leinster prism, purely because they are the standard setters in Irish rugby. And if Will Connors is the starting open side for Leinster, then logic would suggest that he's more than likely going to be the starting open side for Ireland. I think Caelan Doris is a very interesting one. I mean, he's still only 21, but he just looks so comfortable at this level that it's so easy to forget how young he is. I thought he was absolutely outstanding on Friday night, fully deserving winner of the Man of Match award. And like, that second half performance was a real gritty display from... It was almost the type of performance that you'd expect from a grizzled veteran. he really rolled up his sleeves, because we've seen glimpses of what he can do on a dry day. And, you know, it was wet at the Aviva on Friday night. It was a little bit trickier, but he's a super player. And it's a question of, is he going to start look at playing six now as opposed to eight? Because you have someone like Jack Onan. And for me, CJ Stander is still going to be in that back row. So I think if you're going on form right now, you might look at something like CJ Stander, Caelan Doris, and those two can switch between six and eight, and maybe a Will Connors. And that's not to say that Jack Onan has put a foot wrong either, but I still think CJ has a lot to offer in that Irish setup when he's surrounded by a pack that can give go forward ball. Because for all of, you know, Munster trying to share the load, I still think Munster are hugely reliant on Stander, as we saw on Friday night.
Yeah, there's something interesting what you say there, guys. It's the ability to be agile with our selections for the national team and to be able to move the game on. Like, if players are playing well, that you should be able to pick them for the national team and not rely on reputations. One man, though, whose reputation just continues to soar in the stratosphere is Johnny Sexton. 35 years of age, looks 25, played like he's 25. There was that moment at Di Allende in the first half, like against Munster. If the crowd was there, 50,000, they would have gone mad first. Then he had that kick. How is that happening, James? How has he like turned into Tiernan Og?
Oh, I think he's just a consummate professional in everything he does. Everything he does off the field, he's meticulous in how he prepares for games, for opposition. And he's meticulous in what he does off the field to look after his body. Yeah, look, I think we all wish we were able to kind of age like him, and he still puts himself out there. You know, he puts his shoulder in, he gets stuck in, he gets down and dirty with it, you know, and he's got that temperament as well that you need. He's a winner. He's a consummate winner. And I think people around him feed off it. When you walk into a side and you know that Johnny's there, you can just kind of worry about your own game, focus on that, because he pulls the strings and he's so good. Like, he's so, so good at it, makes the right decisions, has a good rapport with the refs as well. And look, it's going to be a huge, huge loss whenever he does step down, and there's going to be a huge void to fill. But again, the good thing about the way Leinster do things is there's players there who are getting game time. It's going to have to change with Ireland about when Johnny's not there, what's going to happen and who's going to step up. But Johnny has been superb for Leinster and for Ireland. So good.
I think it's worth pointing on, touching on his rapport with the referees, actually, John, because James is right. I think he's really grown into the captaincy role. It's something that he's wanted for so long, and he's made no secret about it. But I'm thinking of the moment late in the second half at a crucial stage when Shane Daly, I think it was, took out, Munster fans might disagree, but James Lowe in the air. And then Munster had actually went and won the penalty from the ensuing breakdown. But Johnny Sexton went up to Andrew Brace, had a coy little word in his ear and said, look, can we check that? And in the decision, the penalty gets reversed at a crucial, crucial stage. Now, Munster fans potentially could have cause, you know, to disagree with that. But at a huge moment, a calm head, and Leinster get the penalty, and, you know, that helps them to see out the game.
Yeah, 53106 fans of Leinster and Munster. We're going to speak about Munster after the break. Just on Leinster, lads, is there any kind of psychological thing in sports that would say that you've had such a long winning run that eventually it just creaks and it comes to an end, or do you just keep with the process of the next game? I'm just kind of thinking to myself, James, they win next week, say they beat Saracens in that quarterfinal. We'll talk about Owen Farrell just before 4 o'clock as well. To me, I get a feeling that if Leinster keep on going, the final will be in Dublin next month at a closed Aviva probably, but. Is there any kind of feeling that this is just going to derail at any time, that they'll lose a match? Because at the moment it doesn't look like it.
Yeah, exactly. At the moment it just doesn't look like it at all. But I'm sure it's going to happen at some point. No doubt it will. Even James Ryan, when he first started playing, I think he went unbeaten for I don't know what it was, 15 games perhaps, maybe more, and in professional rugby before he lost the game. Inevitably, it's going to happen. Leinster fans will certainly hope that it's not this season until they get the silver over the line, because we're all into knockout rugby from here on in until the start of the new season as well. And look, Munster fans and Ulster and Connacht fans will be hoping that they get beaten soon. Look, it's just going to be, when they are beaten, they're just going to have to dust themselves down and go again. And look, it's something that they won't be used to, so I'm sure they're not going to be happy and they'll bounce back from it. But look, I just think that inevitably it will happen, but not for a while.
Okay, more chat with Roy, James Downey and Kian Tracy on rugby after the break. 53106 if you want to text us, back after this. And you're welcome back to Off the Ball here on News Talk. John Duggan sitting in for Joe Malloy on this Sunday afternoon. You can listen to us on News Talk. You can also watch us on our social channels on Periscope or Twitter at Off the Ball, on YouTube, on Facebook, and on the new OTB Sports app. I download that now for iOS and Android by searching OTB Sports in your app store. It is the Oval Ball we're talking about, rugby, in the company of the former Northampton, Munster and Leinster player James Downey, and the Irish Independent journalist Cian Tracy. We've spoken about Leinster, how brilliant they are. We've spoken about how brilliant Ulster's win was last night. Munster, deja vu, lads, isn't it really? It's very frustrating if you're a Munster fan, if you're involved. A lot of scathing, maybe scathing is too strong a word for it, but a lot of tough writing about them today in the Sunday papers. Neil Francis saying that Grant Van Graan is the problem. Peter Riley saying that the match of the day was really a disgrace, and the box kicking and all of that. Like, what was that all about? Diagnose what the issue is and what the solution is, lads. James, if you want to take it away there, and Cian.
Yeah, I think, look, initially you look at what Munster have gone into. They played Leinster the first game and they used a box kick and it was relatively effective and caused Leinster a bit of concern for a little while. I think that they've gone into this game then maybe thinking, okay, we caused them havoc that way, so we'll try and keep that pressure on. It didn't work. And this is where, personally, I think that they need to adjust. They need to change it up and have a different way of playing. And if something's not working, they got to change it. And it's been the past couple of years as well. They've gotten to a situation where they're chasing the game and they just don't have anything to actually help change it or change the game plan or change what they've been doing. They kind of stick to exactly what they've been at. And for me, you have someone like Stephen Larkham who's there, who I saw his Australian 20s playing a couple of years ago, and they were throwing the ball around an awful lot. You know, you've got people like Keith Earls and Andy Conway on the wings, and they're redundant. And it's whatever they have. I would have thought with Diolande coming in that they'd use him to try and get the ball even to the wingers. And it just hasn't worked. I don't know what they're trying to do in terms of game plan. It's a cup game, yeah, but I think that they need to bring a lot more. And it's that they keep falling short because they don't adjust the game plan is how I see it. They get to a stage where they can hold it, but it's not good enough at the moment.
It's a big concern, James, though, like, isn't it? Because we could easily be saying the same thing about the last couple of years as well. Like, John is right. It's deja vu. And, you know, I know you mentioned that the reports today might have been a bit scathing, but like, this is very, very poor and concerning from a Munster point of view. You know, Van Graan has been here 3 years now, and I think the most damning thing that you could say about that is it's very, very difficult to say what the identity of this current Munster team is or what their style of play is. I agree with James. I don't know what the point in bringing Stephen Larkham into the setup. And, you know, Munster like paid a lot of money to get a coach of his calibre in. And to my mind, of course, like I'm only on the outside looking in, there's no way that a Stephen Larkham brought his family halfway around the world to play a style of play that we saw on Friday night. It was so naive to think that having gotten change out of the aerial game against Leinster on the first game, that it was going to work again. And I think we had seen like subtle little tweaks to the game plan within the first game. James is right. Munster's game plan should all be about getting the likes of Keith Earls and Andrew Conway on the ball. And while they did that, they reverted to type on Friday night. And when it didn't go right, they had absolutely no plan B. And this is something that we've been saying about Munster for a long, long time. And I think it is concerning. I think, you know, this time last year, Felix Jones left Munster because he turned down a contract offer. And people were saying, you know, what is Felix Jones bringing to the Munster attack? But like, if the talk behind the scenes was that Van Graan was the one calling a lot of the shots. Now, I think that that's a major, major concern because when you, and fair enough that he's the head coach, but his specialty is it within the forwards. And I think that when we saw someone like Stephen Larkham coming, the hope was that, you know, he'd be a big personality and he'd say, well, if I'm coming, then the attack is going to be, you know, mine and I'd want to put my stamp on it. To revert to type to, it was a pretty much a South African style of play, but Munster don't have the power in the pack, particularly in the front five that started on Friday night, to be able to implement that kind of game plan. And I think it's very concerning that they don't seem to be evolving at all, despite the fact that, you know, I know the lockdown caused issues and stuff, but like that allowed Larkham more time with the players, at least verbally, to talk about, you know, his philosophy, his ideology. And it's kind of worth pointing out, I think, as well, I'm writing about this in tomorrow's paper, that Van Gran is 40, like he's still in his first head coach role. Like he should be open to, and maybe he is, but from the outside looking in, it doesn't look like he's kind of taking other people's advice on board. He's a guy who comes from the Heineken Meyer school of thought, former Springboks coach, who kind of, he came through the Blue Bulls under his wing. And, you know, Heineken Meyer has been a divisive figure. He doesn't always kind of rub people up the wrong way. And Paul O'Connell went working with him under Stad last year and kind of ran out of Stad because, from my understanding, he didn't have enough say, you know, to put his stamp on the forwards. And I suppose my worry would be that is the same thing happening in Munster at the moment, that Van Gran is trying to control too much and not allow the likes of Stephen Larkham and Graham Rowntree to kind of put their stamp on this team. Because, like I said, I think it's very, very hard to tell, like, listeners what is this Munster team's identity or style of play. And for a head coach that's been here for 3 years, that's not good. And I think that will filter through to the players as well.
I think on that as well, you see Van Gran's come in, he's going to be the head coach. So these guys are going to say, I have my way of playing, and this is, you're going to implement my game plan. And I think that was the case kind of with Felix Jones and the frustrations there, that people were saying, what is the attacking threat in this back line? What are we trying to do? But ultimately, as I saw it, Felix was just implementing the plan that was been pushed down to him. So like you can play all the ball you want, but if it doesn't fit into what Johan wants, it's not going to work. And I think I would have thought then, with Stephen Larkham coming over, as you said, he's such a personality, and the teams that he's coached before, the underage teams, have thrown the ball around and have gotten it to where their strong players at. And he's obviously seen Munster games and seen that they need to change what they're doing. The problem, as I can kind of see it as well, is that there's so many South Africans there that they look at the way the national team play and they just try and bully teams. And okay, it can work sometimes, but not all the time. And when it doesn't work, what are you going to go to? When you have someone like Larkham who's there, who's got to know so much, you know. And I think for certain players, it's been great for someone like JJ Hanrahan, who seems to have grown in such confidence as well, which is great. But you just need to get the ball to those attacking players who are like Keith Earls must be pulling his hair out, you know, and like he's touched the ball, I think, three times or something like that, and Andy Conway did. And like, for international quality players that you have, it's criminal not for them not to be involved.
If Munster are looking at the Springboks and what they do and thinking that they can do the same thing, like, it's absolutely crazy. Like, you look at that Springboks team and like someone like Orji Snyman couldn't even get into the pack, and you know, they had the subs, which they used to call themselves like the bomb squad, because they were all absolute beasts who'd come off the bench. Munster do not have that kind of player to implement that kind of game plan. Even I think the stats showed after the game that like Jeremy Loughlin and I think Billy Holland didn't even carry the ball at all. Like, so everyone within that box team can do it. So it's just crazy. And even if you touch on someone like Damian Diallende, who, you know, I thought had slotted really well into the team. I thought he did well against Leinster. And I know the Connacht game last week was a bit mad, like down to 13 men, and I'd be slow to read too much into it, but there were signs, you know, of Munster looking to get him on the ball. Like, he was anonymous. Like, there's no way that he left Japan, you know, probably a nice cushy life. And let's remember that Damian Diallende was the best 12 at the World Cup, and James, you definitely know a lot more about this than me, but why aren't Munster using a guy who only a few months ago was absolutely ripping it up in Japan for South Africa? Instead, all he was being asked to do was chase box kicks all night. And I'd say, you talk about Keith Earls and Andrew Conway tearing their hair out, I would imagine that Damian Diallende and Chris Farrell as well, it's worth mentioning, because their centre partnership looks like it has huge, huge potential. And again, we've seen signs of it. But in the biggest game of the season, not to use the weapons that you have in the back line, because there were a lot of weapons there. And I've seen some people kind of saying that, oh, look, it might have been different if Joey Carberry and Orji Snyman, Dave Kilcoyne and John Klein were playing. But I think it's important to remember that Leinster were missing James Ryan, Dan Levy, Tadhg Furlong and Dave Kearney, who's been a starter for them all season. So yeah, it's very frustrating, I think, from a Munster point of view, because you know, they're going to go away, they're going to lick their wounds, they'll say they'll come back better next year. And even, like, I thought Van Graan was kind of like, obviously he was deflated after the game on Friday night, but saying, I think he said like that he wasn't as upset about the game as he was compared to this time, or the semi-final last year. I think he should have been even more upset, because Munster didn't fire a shot, and for the second time in 3 weeks against Leinster, and I don't think the scoreline really reflected how much better Leinster were. It goes back to the earlier point, like we were saying, Leinster weren't at their best and Munster still couldn't really get near them. And that's the reality of the situation. And you can talk about gaps closing and things like that, but the reality is the gap has only gone one way, and that's bigger.
Just on text here, 53106, hang on, they got loads of changes 2 weeks ago. They did not fire a shot this Friday. A lot of senior players never pushed on. Conor Murray, Peter Mahoney, to mention a few, never fired a shot. I understand why Leinster are getting all the plaudits, but Munster had a bad run of injuries, especially at out-half. Blaindow retiring, Joey Carberry injured. The Leinster try was a double movement. JJ missed two penalties. There isn't that much between Munster and Leinster, as some people would like to think. That is from Mike. Just on JJ Hanrahan, you there, you saw you got a lot of confidence there, James, but should you be making those kicks in a semi-final in a pressure position? And also, should Munster have more trust maybe in him to run a game? Is there enough trust in JJ to run a game? And had that any impact then on maybe when he reached the pressure moment?
I think for JJ, Larkham being there has been huge for him. You know, it has been, they've given him that confidence. I think with Joey being injured, it's given JJ a little bit more confidence that I'm not necessarily in this battle of waiting for Joey not to be around. He's the number one. He knows he's number one, so he's going to get a good run of game time. And I think he's learned an awful lot from Larkham, because he's a similar type of player. You know, he likes to play heads up, open field play. Shackles have maybe been put on him a little bit with the game plan, which frustrates JJ. And JJ is a player who likes to take the ball to the line, and like, his game management had to improve, yeah. But I just think that maybe some of the game plan just doesn't suit him. He wants to open it up and have a crack. And one of the main things as well in the last year or two was his kicking. And I think that he's gone back to the drawing board, and he's been very, very consistent in his kicking.
Yeah, golden boot, yeah.
Yeah, but ultimately, you're looking at, people are going to remember the two kicks that you probably should have gotten. You know, like, one of them was 5-6 metres to the right, and you can't. When you get to these finals, semi-finals, you've got to nail them. Your percentage has got to be high, and that's the difference. Leinster didn't play well, and I think it was 10-3 at the time, and he gets that kick, and it's a different game, and maybe the mentality in Munster changes then. It's 10-6, it's a one-score game, potentially. But to miss that, and then to miss the next one, it's a knock-on effect for him. And Munster do have some quality young 10s behind, you know, and like, we talk about Leinster's strength and depth, Munster do have some players there. Their academy is a much stronger academy than they've had in previous years. They're like, Ben Healy's there, Jake Flannery's there, Jack Crowley's there. You have three young 10s who need to play as well and need to be exposed to get the best out of them, you know. And it's just very frustrating from a Munster perspective that you've seen these guys coming on and they're just not doing it.
And is there something in that, Keane, that maybe more trust, as we saw with Leinster, needs to be put in these young players like Thomas O'Hearn, these type of players, actually just give them a chance, get them in?
Yeah, no, and I think we will. I'd be very surprised if we don't see them, you know, from early doors at the start of next season. It might have been a little bit harder to throw them in at such an important stage of the season. But I think there's a real hunger amongst Munster fans now. I think they're sick of, you know, people like slagging them off, you know, are you just going to take Kieran Frawley or Harry Byrne again, just go back to Leinster, right? Because I think James is right, they do have enough of their own quality players coming through at the moment. There's a really good crop. But I think, just to go back to JJ, like, unfortunately, it's not just the two missed kicks on Friday night that he's going to be remembered for. Like, this isn't a once-off with JJ. And I think, you know, it's all well and good being the best kicking stats in the Pro 14, but if you can't do it when it comes down to it, I mean, you know, that's what it's all about. You think back to the game a couple of weeks ago, JJ missed it was a very tough kick, but at the same time, he still missed a touchline conversion that would have leveled the game. If you think back to before Christmas, the Racing game in Thomond Park, he missed a drop goal from in front of the post. Now, I'm not saying that any of these chances are easy, but your top level 10s nailed them. And JJ has been thrown in as Munster's first choice 10 almost as a consequence of other things, because, you know, he went off to Northampton. Like, Munster had initially seen him, you know, he was the great big hope to be Ronan O'Gara's successor. that clearly didn't work out. They looked to New Zealand to sign Tyler Blainhall. So JJ went off to Northampton for a couple of years. It didn't really work out for him there. He came back, and then Munster went and got Joey Carberry. So, you know, Munster have never looked at JJ Hannerin as their first choice 10. And like, I think, to be fair to him, he has had a good season. I'm not trying to knock him, but even when he, just shortly after he missed his kick, Sexton steps up and kicks a relatively tough kick as well, you know, and that's the difference between your big game players. And I think that's something that JJ has struggled with for a while, to be honest.
Okay, got about 3 minutes left, lads. James, just briefly, Owen Farrell, his very bad tackle on Charlie Atkinson yesterday, set to rule him out of the Leinster game. Do Saracens have a chance without him?
Yeah, they still do, but it's less and less of a chance. I think you've seen it's a pretty nasty enough shot, but they haven't been playing too great. I saw them against London Irish, and they didn't play great. And even against a kind of mixed bag, WASC second/first team at the weekend, they came out full metal jacket, and they were well beaten, you know. So they're going to be questioning, looking around. They're going to have to dig deep to try and produce it and get a result over here against Leinster. I just don't see it happening at the moment.
Okay, and just to finish, Cian, Johan van Graan, like the Munster hierarchy, the people who make the decisions at executive level at Munster, is Johan van Graan in any danger of getting the dreaded vote of confidence anytime soon?
Okay, like that's up to Munster to make decision behind the scenes. But what I would say is they recently gave him a contract that goes to June 2022, I think I'm right in saying. So, you know, they've backed him. They've had so many coaches come and go over the last few years that they clearly want stability. But what I would say is, like, you don't want stability if you're stuck in zero and almost going backwards. You know, there has to be progression as well. And like, thankfully, rugby isn't the kind of like Premier League soccer where, you know, managers get fired, you know, willy-nilly. So like, I think Munster will take a measured approach, but like, we've got to start seeing some results, because like I said, there's been very little progression, I would say, since Van Graan has come in the 3 years, and they can't say that they don't have the players to deliver, because I think they do.
Okay, so Leinster and Ulster, 7:35 next Saturday in the Pro 14 final, the Guinness Pro 14 final at the Aviva Stadium. James Downey, Cian Tracy, great to have you on as always to speak rugby over the last hour, and I'll chat to you soon.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks, lads. Cheers.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us. Everyone in.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.